Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in. Hour number three, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I hope your August is off and underway and going spectacularly well. We have been teeing off on the absurd and ridiculous mask mandates across the country. Got back from Vegas. My wife had her final I can't handle it any moment anymore. I need to get her to tell that story on the air. I think a lot of people would enjoy it, Buck. We've talked about how everybody kind of finds their mask breaking point. And for my wife, it was being in a Las Vegas casino gym at the Palazzo, in fact. And there was someone employed inside of the Palazzo walking around, making sure that people running on treadmills were not having the masks fall beneath their nose. And she just finally said, I can't do this, and just left. And she was fired up when she got back to the hotel room, because she's sometimes gotten mad at me. We talked about this, because I kind of require people to tell me to pull my mask up all the time if I'm in an airport, if I'm on an airplane, wherever I might be, because I think it's so ridiculous. And I'm not afraid of having that occur. And so she finally said, I get it. I get it now. Like, I am so over all of this mask insanity. And I feel like everybody has their breaking point. For her, it was in a gym with somebody walking around saying, you have to make sure your mask is on while you're running on a treadmill.
I turned early on because of the gym thing. I lost. But remember, gyms were closed for a long time in New York entirely. Yes. So that wasn't even. But the first thing that I remember was when we started the reopen of restaurants, and you had people who were so serious and earnest about, I'm sorry, sir, but Could you please pull your mask up while you walk in?
Yes.
And then pull it down the second you sit down in the enclosed space for the whole time, especially given what we're now being told about the contagiousness of the Delta variant, which they're saying you can basically get from pretty brief exposure, fleeting exposure.
Yes.
In an enclosed space with somebody. Does anyone really think that the restaurant rules were not moronic beyond words? And has anyone ever apologized who said, oh, this is a good idea, we should all wear the masks? No, they never apologize. Now, actually, I know we want to get to sports, but do we have time to just do the Ulster home double? So yes. here's the former or the senior Biden advisor, Michael Osterholm, this goes in cycles. It's wear a mask, any mask, or else you don't take the virus seriously. And then it's double mask and or N95 mask.
We know today that many of the face cloth coverings that people wear are not very effective in reducing any of the virus movement in or out. Either you're breathing out or you're breathing in. And in fact, if you're in the upper Midwest right now, anybody who's wearing their face cloth covering can tell you they can smell all the smoke that we're still getting. We need to talk about better masking. We need to talk about N95 respirators, which would do a lot for both people who are not yet vaccinated or not previously infected, protecting them, as well as keeping others who might become infected, having been vaccinated, from breathing out the virus.
I have like a nuclear explosion of I told you so going off inside my brain right now. I know you have the same thing. Here's a senior White House COVID advisor who is just kind of nonchalantly telling everybody, I mean, come on, cloth masks are crap. We all know that, right? Some of us did.
We've been lectured for so long that we wanted to kill your grandma if basically we said the same thing that Biden's advisor just said there. Masks don't work. Not the way that we wear them. Not the method in which we are wearing them. Everyone who is doing so is being a sheep. It is 100% the truth. And every now and then you get the quiet part said out loud where people like you and I, Buck, who've been getting lectured about how irresponsible it is for us to share our opinions, which are rooted in fact that masks do nothing. You see that even the advisors for Joe Biden, they really know that it's true, and every now and then they let the mask down themselves and actually speak the truth, which is all of this is a sham. It is cosmetic theater. The science doesn't support it. And I'm sure that'll be walked back soon, just like Fauci has walked back a billion things that he said over the years. But that is the truth, okay? masks don't work. We haven't done anything. And this is what I think at its essence infuriates people like you and me, Buck, so much about this entire response is we have spent trillions of dollars. Trillions of dollars, which we will be paying for generations in this country to do things in response to COVID that have had zero impact. If we had just said back in March, we're going to have to ride this out. It's going to suck. There's going to be a death rate, particularly among the obese and the elderly. If you're overweight, now is the time to get healthy, to eat healthy, to go to the gym, to work out. If you're elderly, you need to limit your overall exposure to people until we actually let this virus run through its natural course. We spent trillions of dollars, and we've been telling you for 18 months that a virus was gonna virus, and effectively, that's what the truth is. And it's so infuriating that it's taken this long, and people still don't believe it.
I remember tweeting out in support of going back to, or allowing, I should say, people to go back to work for that first Easter Sunday of the 2020 yeah. pandemic. And I had never received in one, let's say, week-long period, so much hate, wishing my death, wishing my family's yes. death. People were completely insane. There were blue checks who were at the front of the pack. They all owe me an apology. They are morons. They owe you an apology, Clay, but they are jackasses and they have no honor, so that will never happen. But we now see we have run the experiment for 18 months. We know who was a sheep and who actually had a brain that could process information and think about risk and reality. And the Democrats, this is the part of this that you have to get ready for right now. They will never admit it, because to admit it would be to give away not only the power they have from the pandemic, but the future power they hope to acquire from the false narrative that they handled this better, that they were the ones who knew what to do. So they will never change their tune on this. It doesn't matter what the data shows. But I want to celebrate that America beat Mexico last night, Clay.
All right, couple of stories also that are out there. I watched. Did you watch the whole thing?
Second half.
So the U.S. last night, the men, beat Mexico to win the Gold Cup in Las Vegas, 1-0, late goal, 117th minute. And there was a lot of excitement because that's the second straight time we've beaten Mexico. It's like two ships passing in the night. The U.S. men are becoming, I really think, under Burkhalter, an elite-level soccer team. All right. But, so that's a positive. Do you want to take your victory lap, tell much Mexico how much they suck?
I mean, I was very excited last night as America came out and won. And it also makes it even sweeter when there were fans who were clearly Mexico fans who were like throwing bottles at the Americans, because
yes.
somehow that's never a problem. Somehow when the Mexican fans are throwing, you know, batteries and bricks and yelling slurs at the Americans, yelling really nasty stuff.
Yes.
That's not a news story. So it makes it all the sweeter that's right, Mexico. We beat you in soccer.
If you lose to America in back-to-back games in soccer, which is Mexico's national sport, and it's what? The fourth most important sport in America right now? I think that's probably accurate behind football, basketball, baseball. So we're dominating Mexico in their thing. That is enjoyable. Now, that's a positive soccer story. The Olympics are continuing to go on, and I want to have a discussion here because my argument is the woke virus destroys everything that it touches. We're talking about COVID. Most people recover from COVID without issue. I went, Buck, with my family in 2015 to watch the U.S. women win the World Cup in Canada, Vancouver. Awesome trip. I'm not sure there was any team in America that was more beloved than the U.S. women's soccer team in 2015 when they won the Women's World Cup. You could not hear more positivity surrounding them. I want to open up phone lines because I'm actually curious to hear from our listeners. But Buck, you said it, and I think there are a lot of people who agree with you. This team has become so unlikable as they mm-hmm. embraced left-wing politics, as they denigrated our country, refused to visit the White House, that there were a lot of people out there that in the space of basically 6 years had gone from loving the U.S. women's soccer team to being either totally ambivalent to them at best or excited when they lose at worst. 800-282-2882. You are in the position of, you said Sweden won 3-0. You enjoyed it. Now we lost to Canada. And I bet when you woke up this morning and you saw the result, Buck Sexton, there was a small smile that immediately crept across your face when you saw this news.
I wouldn't even say small. I've got a women's Sweden jersey that I got to get on the way to my apartment and a women's Canada soccer jersey. And, you know, I celebrate their victories. Because here's the thing. The U.S. team, a lot of them went with the kneeling thing. A lot of them want to be woke. They want to do all this. And what they've done to their brand is somewhat similar to what happened to the Ghostbusters brand with the all-female reboot, which may be the worst movie visual atrocity ever filmed. I don't know if you ever tried to watch some of it, Clay, but it is.
I watched it because my kids love Ghostbusters 1 and 2. In fact,
which are amazing
when
movies.
They are amazing movies. When we went to New York, two of my kids, all they cared about seeing were all the places in New York that were in Ghostbusters. Like, we went to the old firehouse. We went to the museum. That's all they wanted to see. Oh, yeah, we went to the building, Dana's building.
The apartment building that Stay Puft in the church, that's on the Upper West Side. The old firehouse is down in Tribeca. They've got the tavern on the green in Central Park, which is where the kind that's of weird monster, you know, attacks Louis Tully. I forget his Rick Moranis. I've got remembered his movie name. Anyway.
Yes.
Anyway, let's come back into this, but also Clay, you know, Clay was like last week, because like we got to talk sports, and so we talk sports, and we got a little bit of heat, Clay, a little bit of heat.
Oh, over I the love Simone, this too.
The Simone Biles discussion.
You walked in my world for a moment and saw what happened.
All of a sudden, I'm like, yeah, I'm a guy who can have opinions on the sports stuff, who doesn't even really follow sports. All that. Oh no, the left came after us. Outrage stories. Two white male Republicans saying things about sports that weren't in
line. How funny is it to you, all of the things that we have said on the show in the first 6 weeks, and the most fire that you've gotten so far is your opinion on Simone Biles?
I'm sitting here talking about how Biden is a puppet commie of the left. And what gets me in trouble is saying that I didn't think it was brave. That's supposed. So we got to come into this in a minute. I couldn't believe all the news stories. It's like, really? But first of all, I feel like everyone on the right had the same opinion about this, which is, hey, well, let's, you know what? Well, let's save it.
I think most sports fans had it, but yeah, we'll talk about it when we come back. It. I also want to build more on what I think about the woke virus and the U.S. women and what it reflects in a larger corporate arena, because I do think they're an interesting metaphor for the disaster that has befallen. But we've got a lot of different family memories out there, right, Buck? Everybody does. Doesn't matter what you have done in your life, but you got VHS tapes out there. You got old photographs. You may even have really old camera work film, maybe some slides. My parents loved to get out the old slides that they had on the carousel there, where it cuts around. You watch it on the wall. You watch it on a white sheet hanging on in your house. And we're trying to digitize everything that we have, and that is an incredible undertaking. And also a little bit stressful, because everybody out there knows that feeling in the back of their head where you end up losing, or fear that you are going to lose, some of your old great family memories. Legacy Box can help you, like it helped Buck and I, preserve those memories forever. What can they do, Buck?
Legacy Box has helped over a million families restore and protect their most cherished memories. It's so easy. You just get the box sent to you in the mail. You put the stuff you want to have digitized. It's all done by hand by the Legacy Box team. And then you'll have it on thumb drive, up in the cloud. You'll be able to text that video of, you know, your grandson in the school play from 20 years ago to your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren. It's so easy to do, and it makes a huge difference. So fun at family times, too, holidays and birthdays. Visit legacybox.com/buck. Take advantage of this limited-time offer for 50% off and discover the magic of bringing your past back into view anytime, anywhere. Just like we said, take advantage of this exclusive offer today and then use their kit whenever you're ready. That's legacybox.com/buck to save 50% off. Again, 50% off when you go to legacybox.com/buck.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. I am Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton. We have had a loaded show today. Encourage you to make sure you don't miss any of it on the podcast. Search out my name, Clay. Search out Buck's name. You just type in Clay or Buck anywhere, and you get the show. It's amazing how that works. You can also sign up for the VIP if you go to clayandbuck.com, and you are going to be able to directly reach Buck and I. We're also putting up exclusive content that only VIP members can check out. You can go to clayandbuck.com, sign up for that today. So the U.S. women lost in soccer, and the immediate reaction, I think, by a huge percentage of American sports fans and also just kind of casual American Olympic fans was to be happy about that. How does that happen? How does a team go from in 2015 being the most popular, maybe in America, to being detested by a large percentage of the American population? The answer is the woke virus. And what's so frustrating to this to me about this, Buck, is the U.S. women had an incredible opportunity. They could have stood on the global stage and said, this is what human rights can do for women. Yes, we're good at soccer, but the reason we're good at soccer is because we're allowed to wear shorts and compete, and we get scholarships to college, and women's sports are treated under Title IX, the equivalent of men's sports. They could have uplifted America, used us as the shining city on the hill example, and pointed out that if you look at women's soccer, all you have to know is what the basic human rights of a country is to pick the winner. Instead, they refused to visit the White House. They insulted the President of the United States by name and cursed him. And they refused to stand for the national anthem while wearing U.S. gear. Buck, this is the woke virus. It destroys everything. The U.S. women are a perfect metaphor. Every business should be paying attention to them.
But now, does the woke virus, as you call it, extend to the brand value of the various players that are on the women's team as a result of this? You know, this is where we look at this also, I think, and should look at this as a business decision. I mean, is, you know, Megan Rapinoe is, am I saying that right? I've heard, yes. heard it a million different ways. Megan Rapinoe is a household name now because of her wokeness. So while her team may lose, her brand value and staying true to her woke insanity in my mind, but her wokeness may actually mean she gets a bigger contract from Nike, right? This is the problem of the Kaepernick situation.
That's exactly right.
Playing out all across sports where, you know, it's also they didn't win, right? I mean, I feel like if you win, if you're the U.S. national team for any sport, you go on the world stage, you are the gold medalist, you win at the Olympics. All right, maybe we, but you go out there and you get your butts kicked by Sweden and then Canada? I think there's some humble pie that has to be eaten along with some maybe stop being so woke.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Speaking of the opposite of woke, how about Mike Lindell willing to stand up for exactly what he believes on behalf of his company? He will hook you up like he has hooked Buck and I up. We've got everything right now. My pillow in my house, all of the sheets, all of the towels, all of the shoes even. My wife has got the shoes. She loves them. And right now, there's a 6-piece towel set made with U.S. cotton, making extremely absorbent yet still providing the soft feel you look for. 2 bath, 2 hand towels, 2 washcloths that usually cost nearly $110. Right now, it's $39.99 with the promo code CLAYANDBUCK. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials, get the insanely low price of $39.99 on the towel set, deep discounts on other MyPillow products as well. All you have to do is enter the promo code CLAYANDBUCK or call 800-792-3269.
Thanks for being here with us on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck, with me Clay, and we wanted to tell you to please go to clayandbuck.com for stories we talk about on the show, updates. Remember also to sign up for EIB 24/7. You have access to all the Rush archives, plus we'll be putting up new content from this show there. Special email VIP access that went up today, so sign up for EIB 24/7. And August 1st was the 33rd anniversary of the EIB network. Also want to say thank you to our new affiliate in Peoria, Illinois, Freedom 95.9 in Peoria, Illinois, General Manager Mike Wild. Thanks so much for putting us on, joining our wonderful affiliate list. We're going to keep the folks of Peoria informed and entertained. Speaking of which, Mr. Travis, I got a little bone to pick here. Clay's like, oh, Buck, you're talking about how the communists are ruining America and want to throw us all in prison for the insurrection and all this stuff. How bad could it be talking about sports stuff? Come on in, Buck. The water's warm. Let's talk about sports for a minute together. It's like he's just like goading me into it. I'm like, yeah, sure. I got ideas on the sports stuff too. Here's what happens when that happens. All right. This was from last week. Mediaite.com. What's brave about not being brave? Buck Sexton and Clay Travis go after Simone Biles for withdrawing from the Olympics. Even better, the New Republic, which is a left-wing lunatic site. The right's culture war against Simone Biles is a con. Oh, it's so brave, said Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, who took over the Rush Limbaugh slot. I'm reading what they wrote here. They call it a BS made-up controversy we're talking about. First of all, I'm sorry. I thought when you're like a globally recognized athlete in the Olympics, people are allowed to have opinions about your performance and decisions you made I thought that's what happens in the sports world, but apparently not, Clay. What? How did this landmine get stepped on by yours truly in a way that seems like it's just crazy?
Well, your boy Bill Maher even called you words we can't say on the radio on his show, right?
He is a little bit sad. I've been on the Bill Maher show. I always appreciate when they have me on. They know I'm a right winger. They know that I add some spice into the mix. But I ended up on the blank list, as they said on the air there, of other people who I will not name who are on the right, who are also on that curse word list. Because I said, and all I said was that this seems like the antithesis of competition at the most elite level to pull out of it. So can we just update everybody, Clay? Can you tell where are we now on this story? And then we can backpedal into why was this such a huge deal?
So Simone Biles is going to compete, I think. The plan is on the balance beam. So let me take a step back, I guess. So there are three different major competitions that happen with gymnastics in the Olympics. There are the team events. And so that happened first. And Simone Biles pulled herself out of the team event. And the U.S. women ended up going on and winning the silver medal. And then you have the individual all-around, right, where everybody competes having to do all the different events, and that is where the United States won with Kim, right? I think the 18-year-old Suni Kim, if I remember that correctly, 18-year-old going to Auburn. She won, the U.S. woman did, stepping in with Simone Biles not competing. And then they have all of the individual events, the floor routine, the bars, the balance beam, and the vault. All four of those, you can win an individual gold medal in all of those. The only one left now is the beam, and Simone Biles is now going to compete in that, and I believe that will be happening early tomorrow morning for the final gymnastics event. So she has set out everything since pulling herself out of the team event. It's probably, I wouldn't even say probably, it's the number one story by far to come out of the Olympics so far, right, is that Simone Biles has not competed. And so immediately after she pulled herself out, all of these places started saying it's courageous, it's heroic. And so we were responding to that idea that it's courageous and heroic. And you ended up evidently taking a lot of the shrapnel, I think, because people are used to me maybe having strong opinions in sports.
I think they were upset because Clay Travis has corrupted me with his sports, bringing me into his right-wing sports world. Because
I got ripped some, too, but that's kind of par for the course.
We're both getting ripped. I mean, I think they expect that you're going to take a certain perspective on it. I just rarely talk about, in my previous career on radio, rarely talked about sports very much. Kaepernick, I mean, some things that would come up at the national level. But on the Simone Biles thing, I even said, and this of course gets left out, you know, there's never any shame in getting treatment for mental health at any point in time or anything like that. Absolutely not. It's the same as, in my mind, the same as someone saying, look, like I ruptured an Achilles tendon, I'm out, right? But I ruptured an Achilles tendon, I'm out is not, oh my God, look how brave this person is. It's just, I can't compete, right? And then when you get into this shifting story, the shifting narrative of, Well, actually, it was some kind of a, you know, initially it was the stress. And if you're an athlete, if you're an athlete at that level, you're supposed to be able to, as part of this, to handle the stress of competing. Now, you know, you could retire on, you know, a moment's notice. This is a free world, free country. But then it turned into it was a vertigo issue. So everybody who said responding to the stress is a, you know, you're a jerk if you said, oh, look how she's responding to the stress and whatever. It's actually unsafe for her. But that was a couple of days ago. Now we're back to she's competing again. So did she manage to conquer the vertigo safety issue in a couple of days? Or is that just the narrative spun as kind of a trap for people that were criticizing? I got questions, Clay.
Those are fantastic questions. And those are the kind of questions you're not allowed to ask. CNN had an entire segment. Somehow you avoided getting ripped on CNN. Did you see the headline? White men criticize Simone Biles. So they just went out and grabbed random white guys. One of them is my friend Doug Gottlieb, who does a sports talk radio show. And he was like, wait a minute, how come, like, he did a video talking about the fact that, you know, men who decided not to compete would get destroyed. And they pulled his clip, put it on CNN. And it was him and a couple of other, I think Piers Morgan they put in there.
Was it Brad Stelter, though? Is that a Stelter segment?
I'm not even sure who the segment was
with.
But the headline was white men criticize Simone Biles, as if because of our race, we're not allowed to comment on the sport.
Think about that. They tried to transform it. And this was very clear. They tried to transform it into this is, I didn't even view this as political. That's why I was so, you know, and you said, like, if Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, which is if you're a gymnast, the Olympics is by far the biggest thing. There's nothing else that comes even close, right? For professional soccer players and people like that, the Olympics is, like, to be honest, it's kind of meh. You know, a lot of the basketball players in the U.S. team, which, by the way, also lost to France recently. You know, for them, this isn't the biggest event. The biggest event would be the NBA Finals. But so we're just assessing this from a sports perspective, right? I put on my sports analyst hat for a second and I got my hand blown off. I was like, what? All of us, cause I'm conservative. I can't talk about an athlete making a decision to step away from a sport as not being something that's praiseworthy. It was fascinating, but it was really a window into the mentality of the left, which here's what it really is.
They're not allowed to take over sports.
You're not allowed to criticize Simone Biles. That's actually, yes. I mean, you're just not allowed to.
That's right. And they've also tried to take over sports and make it a entirely left-wing owned discussion point. And that's what they tried to do on CNN. They're trying to apply the same rules of identity politics there, where your opinion on an athlete is entirely defined by what your identity is, right? You're a white guy. You can't have an opinion on a black woman. Well, the reason why people watch the Olympics and watch sports in general is to have opinions on athletes and their performance and whether or not they are the best. Like, sports is mostly argument, right? That's why it has a lot in common with politics, because you watch an event, you look at facts, you look at data, and then you sit around and argue with your friends what team is better, what quarterback is better. Like,
absent narrative, sports is just fancy exercising, okay? Without actual stories involving humans and their emotions and everything else, you know, it might as well be one of those CrossFit competitions that people watch. I'm always like, what? You want to watch people lift weights? I don't get that. But anyway, you understand.
I think it's pretty entertaining, by the way.
Well, look at, you just know that the CrossFit community is about to rip my head off.
I think some of those CrossFit things, like, you're just going to climb up a rope like 20 feet into the air.
Like, I want to be jacked like the CrossFit people. I just don't want to watch them getting jacked through CrossFit. That's a different thing. But the point for me here was just, I shouldn't be taken aback by it at all, but I just thought it was interesting because they made it political under the guise that we were making it political, and that actually was just not true. It was not political at all for me.
By the way, Sonny Lee. I said Sonny Kim. I'm probably going to get you. By the way, Buck said
it, not
me. Oh,
my gosh. Clay
Sonny
Travis.
Lee, 18 years old, won the Olympic gold, not Sonny Kim. So congratulations to her. I hope she does well at all.
Yeah, she's actually an amazing story and a very happy story in this whole thing. So that's very, very, very cool. You know, who's watching your money? I mean, it's not your financial advisor, because guess what? He's probably on the beach sipping a cocktail while your investments are tanking. You're paying him those fees. Many Wall Street insiders predict a correction is just ahead. Plus, the market's been really choppy lately. So it's your choice. listen to the same old excuses from your advisor, or subscribe to Carnivore Trading, which is what I do, and see why their picks have become legendary. Carnivore levels the playing field, delivering in real time what their experienced traders are thinking right now. Now all of us, from newbies to experienced traders, have access to their explosive trades in real time. And for the first time, Carnivore will let you try their service for free. They'll actually text you. It's so easy. They text you what the trades are going to be, and you have the option to take it or pass. This is your chance to see and mirror Carnivore Trading's explosive trades in real time for free. No obligation. Go to GetOurTrades.com and use promo code USA. That's GetOurTrades.com, promo code USA, GetOurTrades.com. Carnivore Trading, real trades, real time. See website for terms and conditions, past performance, no guarantee of future earnings. Wow, closing up here at the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck. Just want to remind you all to go to clayandbuck.com and check out stories from today and subscribe to EIB 24/7. Clay and I are posting videos there. Cat photos, Tallulah photos. I forget you. What are your cat's names, Clay?
Egon, which we were talking about Ghostbusters earlier.
That's great.
My wife wanted to name them Egon and Spangler. And my 6-year-old said no, he wanted to name one of them. So we've got Egon and we have got Leo. Leo, I believe, is the name of the cat on Caillou. For parents out there, my 6-year-old was very much and still kind of was, but for, 3-4-year-old, Caillou is wildly popular.
I think it's so interesting and would love to converse with Mrs. Travis at some point about Egon and Spengler versus Egon and Venkman, which would be the one that would come to mind right away for the Ghostbusters super
fans. Oh, that's a good point.
You know?
I don't know why she wanted to go Egon and Spengler.
I think, those are the smarter, Venkman's obviously kind of the showman, but Spengler, yes, and Egon are the smart guys of the crew.
I thought that was more of a Ghostbuster stan name. It's a great question, but the family is very committed to Ghostbusters, not the female version of the Ghostbusters. Although there's a new Ghostbusters that's coming out, this fall.
I just hope they don't do to it what the Indiana Jones Crystal Skull did, which they already kind of did with the all-female. But at least the all-female one, you can just, that doesn't even get a numeral. Like, we pretend that one didn't happen. It just wasn't good. If it was good, I would have said, I love Ghostbusters. I probably watched that movie with my siblings and cousins at family. My parents would just put on Ghostbusters and we would all, yep, crowd around the TV. VHS tapes for the young ones, for our Gen Z audience. There were these things called, we actually had something in my cousin's clay called a laser disc, which was like a giant, did you ever see this? It was like a giant CD, which was cutting edge technology circa 1985, but you couldn't fast forward or rewind. You had to watch the whole thing.
Was that what the beta disc was?
I don't even know what a beta disc is.
Remember, there was a huge battle between which was going to end up the way that people watched. Was it going to be beta or was it going to be VHS? And then VHS just rose up and dunked all that. Like, that was, I'm old enough to remember it being a big deal when my family got the VCR, right? You got the VCR and you brought it home and you're like, this is going to change everything in the household. Like, the VCR was a big deal, but it was as a beta versus VCR. I think you might be referencing the beta, which ended up losing in the battle of what it was going to be like. And by the way, our friends out there, you need to be able to preserve all your memories, right? We're talking about the VHS. This is a tease that we are tossing out there, because all those VHS tapes, like all those movies that everybody got, remember Disney would have the, yeah, special releases and everything else. But so many people out there have had to go back, and those things are all like antiquated now.
This is like when I've had people in recent years come up to me and they're like, I write patriotic music, and they give me a CD or even occasionally a cassette tape. And I love that they write the patriotic music, but I have to say to them, I truly do not have a means of playing this media. So, after a while, you just have these things where, do you have a VHS player anywhere in your house?
That's why people need Legacy Box. That's why they need the Legacy Box.
And look at this.
It's a perfect tease.
It's a perfect tease. Also teasing this week, by the way, Mr. Travis is leaving the free maskless state of Tennessee, and he's coming deep behind enemy lines. He's going to see what it's like in the crazy blue NYC. Yes, we're going to have amazing food. Yes, there is the upside of all the culture and all that stuff. But he knows he's surrounded by crazy libs here. But I will keep him safe. I will deliver him back to Tennessee in one piece.
It is amazing that I am basically super spreading masks all over the country. Went to L.A. a couple of weeks ago, right as their mask mandate took off. Literally landed in Vegas last weekend, 2 hours before their mask mandate began. And now a lot of places in New York are requiring masks, right? I felt like I was going back in time.
By the way, you don't know because it's not a mandate by the city, so it's place by place now. So you go to one place, you're fine. You go to another place, they go, oh, sir, we require masks. And I love when they pull the mask down to tell you that, too, by the way.
Yeah,
so it's
of
like,
course.
I'm going to spit in your face while I tell you that you're not allowed to spread your virus around here. That happens. But Clay's going to be here, which is great because we're also going to do something kind of special on the show this week. We've got some of our favorite friends joining us in person here in the studio. We're looking to have Alex. Now, not all this is 100% confirmed
yet.
Yes,
but we're still working through it.
We're looking to get Ann Coulter joining us. We're looking to get Alex Berenson. Senator Marsha Blackburn's not going to join us in person because she's in Tennessee. But we've got some other folks we're working on getting to come and hang out with us, spend some time here in studio, Clay. I'm excited.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. And I can't wait to get up there and be able to hang out with all of you, even in the masked metropolis of insanity, which New York City certainly is going to be.
We might have to make you eat some Brooklyn barbecue while you're here, just so you can try to line it up against your beloved native Tennessee barbecue. And I know you're gonna like Tennessee better, but we do it pretty good here in New York City. You'd be surprised.
It's going to be fun. I can't wait, notwithstanding the insanity. I appreciate everybody out there hanging out with us, new affiliates as well. We are rolling. Should be a good week. And we have to continue to fight the battles for sanity
in
an insane world.
The border, so much on our minds already for tomorrow. We are going to be throwing down over it, my friends. Make sure you tell folks, check out the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck, he's Clay. We're back with you tomorrow.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.